There's an old movie that features those early test pilots who were attempting to break through the sound barrier, that magical number of 735 miles an hour, 1,182 kilometers an hour, that great victory that hadn't been achieved, that people had attempted it, and as different test pilots seemed to get through to this magic number, but then the plane would so often just disintegrate. And they just couldn't work out what was going wrong. You know, was it just the structural integrity of the planes weren't able to handle such, at that stage, you know, such fantastic speeds? But then they began to wonder, you know, was there some problem with the controls? And it was Chuck Yeager who eventually then said, you know, maybe it's that people are using the controls the wrong way. Maybe when you reach this incredible barrier, this milestone, that something needs to change. Rather than pulling the lever back to go up, maybe you need indeed to pull it down. And so he takes the famous flight. He goes up and attempts once again to break through the barrier and succeeds. But this time, rather than pulling the yoke back, he pushes it forward. And rather than going down into a nosedive, he lifts up and is able to succeed and complete the test. In some ways, what the kingdom of God that Jesus preaches is about is that complete reversal, that complete change of the whole orientation of our lives, that understanding of something so completely new, that when we see the world, so often we imagine that what we see is in fact the truth. But like those test pilots, we need to do the exact opposite in order to really be at the heart of the kingdom of God, in order to really understand and to find our place in God's kingdom. So when Jesus begins the sermon, the famous sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel, when he begins with these eight declarations that we call the Beatitudes, it seems illogical. It doesn't seem to work. You know, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I mean, we see so many people who do mourn, and they don't seem to be able to find that comfort. So much of the so-called wisdom that we see here in this gospel doesn't seem to make any sense until we begin to understand it with a new way of seeing, to be able to understand it with the light, with the eyes of God's kingdom, not with the eyes that we all have been brought up with, but we need new eyes to see what Jesus is declaring. These are not new commandments. These are not things that say we have to be poor in spirit in order to be blessed, that we have to be meek in order to be blessed. These are good news. These are wonderful declarations because Jesus is saying to us and to our nation that if this is already the way that you are, if this is the way that you have discovered your life to be, then indeed there is the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, there already is the kingdom of God breaking into our lives. This is about rewriting history. This is about the truth and the declaration that in the person of Jesus, all of this begins to take shape. All of this begins to come into effect. But our world needs to be turned upside down. Our world needs to understand the way that the kingdom of heaven truly operates, the way that God wants to use us to break into our world. These are declarations of the kingdom, declarations of the way that God wants us to live our lives, declarations about how we can recognize the kingdom of God already breaking in. And the completion of all of these, the final lines of each of the Beatitudes, the rewards, if you like, that the God is wanting us to receive, these are not simply reserved for some future point in history. These are not reserved for that glorious day when we will be able to be with God in heaven. This is about heaven, the realm of God's glory, the realm where everything happens according to God's will and God's plan, where heaven breaks into earth. We need to understand it in light of what Jesus will teach us in the very next chapter of Matthew's Gospel in the Lord's Prayer. When he says, you know, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. We're letting heaven be with us here on earth. That's why I'm sure that the bishops have chosen this particular gospel for us as a nation, to remind us that we need to be about the kingdom of God here in Australia, that we need to be and build this kingdom. The readings began today with what seems to be this wonderfully consoling text from the prophet Isaiah. I don't know if any of you read a little bit around the passage there from chapter 32. It's actually this really strong and harsh warning to the women in the country to say that in a year's time, great devastation will break out upon the land unless you become people of prayer, unless you open your hearts to what God is planning and wanting to do. Then he will do these wonderful things. Then he will make the pastures into these fertile and beautiful places. But first, there needs to be this repentance. First, there needs to be this renewal of our minds. First, there needs to be this turning of all of our desires and all of our longings to be people of the kingdom. Our nation can be a great place. Our nation has already been richly blessed. But so often, we've rewritten history in the wrong way. So often, we've attempted to live our lives according to the shadow of other nations, not according to God's kingdom. Let's be about a people this year that bring in the kingdom of heaven. Let's be a people that declare that, no, the ways of God are wonderful. The ways of God are life-changing. The ways of God can bring about change and glory in our nation.